With me in the book of Exodus this morning, the book of Exodus chapter 12, the book of Exodus chapter 12. This week, the Jewish people celebrate the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That celebration began on Friday, April the 22nd at 6 o'clock p.m. because the Jewish day begins at 6 o'clock p.m. instead of 12 midnight. And so yesterday was celebrated Passover, and they'll go for the next 8 days. The first 2 days of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they commemorate their deliverance out of Egypt on that night. And then the last 2 days of the feast, they celebrate going through the Red Sea, where Israel crossed through dry ground by the miracle and the power of God. And then the middle of that is a celebrates a time, as they say, that the Feast of Unleavened Bread, getting all the leaven out of the home. It is a picture of being as close to a state that you can be where God designed for you to be, or something along of that nature. So, And the Jewish people follow the biblical model for the observance of the Passover on the first day and the next 7 days. And so it is a day, this time, that Israel celebrates. This is probably the most important of the celebrations and the most important of the feast days that Israel has. There are three times in all the males when they had the temple and the tabernacle earlier in their history, that there were three times that the males were called to stand before the Lord in Jerusalem, and this was the first of those three times. We're going to go back and look at the passage of Scripture that deals with this event, going back to that night that Israel was delivered by the power of God out of Egyptian bondage. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor take unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No matter of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only which may be done of you. And you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitation, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb, according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land, which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that shall you keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Then you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Again, this is a description of the night that God brings Israel out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage, and they're to go back to Egypt no more. The central point of this observance on this night, and also in the observances of Passover and among the Jewish community since then, the central point is a Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb. Every family that had a lamb, it had to be a lamb that was without any deformities and without disease. It was proven for 14 days to make sure that it was not sick or would die, and then it was presented to be offered as a sacrifice to the priest at the tabernacle and later at the temple. The blood would be offered according to the ceremonial law, and then the family that offered the lamb would eat the lamb after roasting it. Since the destruction of the temple in AD 70, the ceremonial offering of the lamb is no longer observed, and it is to commemorate by the Jewish people that their temple has not yet been rebuilt. But the families still have a meal that will consist of lamb or some other type of ceremonially clean meat. These observances commemorate the night that we read about in Egypt when each family took a lamb and sacrificed it. They would take the blood, put it in a basin, and then they would take and strike the lintel of the door and the doorpost. And what God had promised when the blood applied, the Lord promised that when he passed through Egypt to judge Egypt, and what he had told, this is called the judgment of the firstborn, that if the blood was not applied, that everything that was the firstborn, whether it was man or beast, died in that house that night. God had warned of this judgment. He had warned the nation of Israel, and Moses had also warned Egypt. But with the blood applied, when the Lord came through Egypt that night, if he saw the blood applied to the lintel and to the doorpost, then he did not go into that house, and that house was spared the judging hand of God. I do believe that even if there was an Egyptian that had offered that sacrifice, that they also would have been spared. The blood applied, the Lord passed over the house. And the firstborn did not die because the lamb was a substitute for the firstborn. There was a great crying and there was a great mourning in Egypt that night because there was much death, but not among any of those who had the blood applied. The Passover celebration and the Lord's Supper, we observe the Lord's Supper, showing the death of the Lord until he come, have several things in common. Both were instituted by the Lord himself. Both commemorate the lamb that was man's substitute. I went on a website and looked up different passages of Scripture that are read by the Jewish people during the week of Passover. And as I went through and looked at those different verses, I was thinking, my, what a blessing. If they would only pay attention to the verses they read, there's enough gospel in those verses for them to be pointed to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Both of these feasts commemorate the lamb that was man's substitute. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23, the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Now, it was not anything, any works that they had done, any merit that they had. It didn't matter whether they were rich or whether they were poor. God was looking for the blood. Praise the Lord. When God looks today, He's not looking at whether you're a Baptist, whether you're a church member, whether you're doing good, whether you are a rich person, a poor person, a young person, an old person, whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. God sees the blood. And praise God, I am thankful that I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my Lord, and I have been washed from my sins by His precious blood. And when God sees me, and if you're saved and God sees you, He doesn't see you, but He sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary to pay for your sins. Can I have a witness? Amen. Praise God. It was a night to be continually observed. God had commanded Israel that they were to observe it every year. At the beginning of the year for them was April. And it would go along with our month, April. But on the 15th day of the first month that they were to observe the Passover. You and I that are saved, we've been commanded to partake of the Lord's table, of the Lord's supper, and to honor the Lord's sacrifice and His death and His shed blood on the cross of Christ. And we give thanks to the Lord for what He's done for us. Both take a look back at the sacrifice made for redemption of man. It shall be when thy son asks thee in the time to come, another passage that is read by Jewish families. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? Then thou shalt say unto him, by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us up out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And just like the children of Israel, they still do this to this day. And maybe some of their children would ask, why do we observe the Passover? And they say, because we commemorate the time that God, by a mighty hand and by through that blood that was applied, that none of the firstborn of Israel died where the blood was applied, and that God brought us out by a mighty hand out of the land of Egypt. You and I, we can look back if our children ask, why do you talk about Christ? Why do you go to church? Why do you partake of the Lord's Supper? We can go back and say, there was a day, hallelujah, there was a day that I was in sin and I was in shame, and I called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, and He saved my never dying soul, and I've been delivered, set free by the power of God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The Lord told the disciples, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let me tell you this. If your bank account is empty and your health is poor and everybody, and it seems like that nobody likes you, everything's going against you, you've lost your job, you've lost everything, the dog's even left you, amen, and your car's broken down on the side of the road, you can rejoice today because your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life, and you're saved by the grace of God. If there's no other reason to rejoice, we can rejoice because we're saved. Amen. There are those that are, and I don't rejoice over anybody that dies. And I say that, you know, there's a lot of people that are mourning over Prince who passed away, and I hate that he died. I mean, I didn't follow him or anything, but I hate that he died. But let me tell you that my Prince is alive and well. Amen. He died, he rose again, and he's coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. Amen. I can rejoice in that. I may have a few trials to go through. I may have a few bumps in the road. But if you're a child of God, we've read the last chapter and we win. We win. We win. Amen. Glory to God. Moses told the children of Israel, here about 7-8 days later, they've got the Red Sea before them. They've got Egypt's armies behind them. And the Lord told him to go forward. Moses told the children of Israel, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll show you today. For the Egyptians to whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Let me tell you, God didn't save you and then put you on autopilot and say, you do the best you can and just work everything out and I'll see you when you get to heaven. No, we've got a God that'll bring us out of Egypt, a God that'll part the Red Sea, a God that'll part the River Jordan, and a God that'll be with you each and every day of your life. Amen. We can look back at what God has done. Both have an encouragement for the saints to live a holy life and a holy walk. the song that was sung after they were delivered from the Egyptian armies. I will sing to the Lord, Exodus chapter 15. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. Now let me tell you something here. These Egyptians have been in bondage for a total from the time that Jacob went down to Egypt to now. They've been in bondage for 400 years. I mean, all they've known was a life of slavery and hard bondage and servitude, of having hard taskmasters, of having to work. You know, those pyramids that were built in Egypt were built by slave labor from the Jews that were there. And all they've known was bondage and difficulty, and the only promise they had was Joseph's coffin, and he had given a promise that God would surely visit you hence, and you're going to take my bones out of here. Joseph, he was a ruler in Egypt. He lived in Egypt, but he said, I'm not staying here. Amen. You're going to take my bones out of here. And that coffin, which a Hebrew word is a hope chest. And they would look at that and say, one day God's going to visit. One day God's going to bring us out of here. One day God's going to do something. They've seen the plagues of Egypt that had come by the hand of God to judge all of the false gods of Egypt. And they had been hoping and praying. But now, praise God, their faith has become sight. They're out of Egypt and they're looking back and they see the armies of Pharaoh and their bodies floating in that water. You say, what a gruesome sight. Let me tell you, they had been beaten, their families had been murdered by these people, and now they're free and they're singing a song. Amen. Praise God. They're singing a song. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. He is my God and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Not only that, the Passover and the Lord's Supper remind us of the promise of his presence and power. Another passage of scripture is David's song of deliverance in 2 Samuel 22. We'll read a few portions of that. They recite this one of the evenings. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Another passage, Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hind's feet, and setteth me upon the high places. The hind is a deer. Have you ever seen a deer run through the woods or run through a field? I mean, buddy, they are leaping and they're getting it done. You know why? Because there's a redneck behind them with a 30-06 getting ready to make him supper. Hallelujah. And they got the dogs behind him with that deer. He'll leap and go through. You know what the power of God will do for you? Hey, it'll take you shuffling, dragging your feet and looking like you're mother-in-law moved in yesterday and that the creditor came and took everything away. Hey, he'll give you strength in your heart. He'll give you joy in your soul. He'll give you a spring in your step. Hallelujah. And he'll give you something worth living for. Amen. And a lot of us need that, don't we? God will do that for you. He'll give you that strength. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Both of them have a looking forward to the coming of the Lord and the restoration of his people to a place of prominence. Now, they read in portions of Isaiah and also in Ezekiel. And looking here, and one of the nights as they have the Passover, they read Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And a few verses later, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek. and its rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand the second time to recover the remnant of his people. Now who is he talking about? That ensign, seed of Jesse, that root of Jesse, who's he talking about? He is talking about the Son of God who would leave the splendors of heaven to be born of the Virgin Mary, to become a part of the family of humanity, to live a sinless, perfect life, and to go to the cross of Calvary to shed his blood and give his life to pay for the sins of the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, you look at that, and I think about that, I said, my. There's no doubt that Peter and Paul and some of the church in the book of Acts, that they preach some of these passages of Scripture that tell people about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Now, that's talking about the millennial reign. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. There's a well that is springing up in the heart of a child of God. The well of salvation. And we can draw from that and we can have joy and strength and power. And in that day you shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Israel celebrates not only what God had done for them and delivered them out of Egyptian bondage and bringing them through the Red Sea, but they're looking forward to a day that they're going to be recovered, that the root of David, the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to rule in Jerusalem, and they're going to be restored to their prominent place, and the time that peace is going to dwell on all the land. The wolf and the lamb are going to dwell together, and you're going to have peace, and it's going to be glorious because the Prince of Peace is going to be ruling. Amen. Boy, I got so stirred, I got choked up on my own preaching. Amen. All right. Ezekiel chapter 37, Son of Man, talking about the valley of dry bones. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're cut off for our parts. Can you imagine some of the Jews during the times of the Holocaust that they probably felt like that there was no hope, no way, but yet they knew something's going to happen. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, all my people, I will open your graves. Amen. I will open your grave. Hey, if you stuck in a grave, a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. And if you want to get out of that rut, God can open the grave. Amen. And He can put God and be your four-wheel drive, and you can get out of that thing. Amen. Glory to God. Our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Israel, as they look back to what God had done for them and their glorious restoration, you and I that are children of God can look back when God paid the price, when we were saved, and then we are to live a life that pleases God. But one day the rapture is going to take place. Gravity is going to lose hold. We're going to be called out of here and be with the Lord forever, forever. Or if I go by the way of the grave, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Passover celebration, like the observance of the Lord's Supper, is a time of thanksgiving to the Lord and a time of celebration for what God has done and what he's going to do. And hey, maybe we need to do a little bit of that ourselves. I mean, some of you, for talking about people that you look, and I know, hey, you go through a lot of things, but some of you, bless your heart, you look at me and you know, I mean, for a group that knows they're going to heaven, you look like you're about ready to go to hell. I mean, you really, you look, I mean, you know, you long face and you all, and you know, you gripe, complain. Some of you do that. Amen. And you complain about everything and nothing's going your way. You know what your problem is? You focus on the wrong person. You focusing on the world, and you need to get your heart back on the Lord. Amen. And start looking to Him. I'm going to tell you what. You could take these passages of Scripture and read them and they'll encourage you. Amen. I mean, if you get discouraged, and I realize we got a bunch of nutcases running for president. I realize we got a mess that we're in. I mean, when I was growing up, we knew who to date and knew who to marry and knew which bathroom to go to, and now don't nobody know that. I mean, couldn't I? I mean, you know, we got that thing. We kind of figured that out. This generation needs some help. Amen. And I tell you what, ain't no man need to be going to a woman's restroom where a girl is. Amen? There ain't no need of that stuff. You say that's discrimination. Well, you know, there's one thing to discriminate wrongfully, but you know what? I know that I am a man. I am a male, okay? Yeah, how do you know that? If you ain't figured that out, you probably don't know which bathroom to go to either. And I'm glad I'm a man. Amen? And I'm glad my wife's a woman. Why in God's name would I want to marry a man? I mean, really, why would I want to do that? I wouldn't want to do that. I mean, I wouldn't have married Renee if she couldn't cook, amen. I could starve by myself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, could not. Now I can cook a little bit, and I knew how to wash my clothes and all. I knew how to do it. My mama taught me that. And some of you young guys, by the way, can I run a rabbit? I'm gonna go ahead and do it anyway. Some of you young guys need to learn how to clean your house and how to cook, and you need to learn how to wash your clothes. Amen. So that your underwear don't come out pink. And if you have pink underwear and you have a wreck to go to the hospital, somebody gonna be talking about you. You understand what I'm saying, honey? Amen. I mean, learn how to work. You know, some of you sit here, man, what's that stuff leaking out of my skin? Called sweat. That's what you're supposed to do when you work. You say, well, I might get dirty. Well, sweetheart, take a bath. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Learn how to work, amen. Some of the females can work harder than some of the males, amen. Well, there's my rabbit right there. We shot him. We'll get back to business. Amen. We're in a mess, aren't we? We really are in a mess. But let me tell you, if you look to Him, you can overcome that mess. I mean, you know, and by the way, say, well, you know, the world is so tough and it's so discouraging. Well, we're not to get our temperature from the world. We're to get our temperature from God. Amen? I mean, I don't have, you know, if a body assumes room temperature, it's because you're dead. And I'm not dead. I've got Jesus living in me. So I don't have to let my surroundings influence my temperature. In fact, if you walk with God, you can influence the temperature of other people. Amen? You can influence the temperature of other people. You come in, well, I don't know. I just gripe, I complain, and I just don't see a whole lot of good. I'm going to tell you, you know what? There's some folks that, you know, all they do is gripe and raise the devil. And, you know, I'm going to quit. And if that's all you can do, I'm going to quit worrying about you. I ain't hanging around you. I'm going to hang around people that praise God, love the Lord. Amen? You say, you mean if I gripe, complain, that you're not going to hang around me? Let me tell you something. If I gripe and complain all the time, I'm going to find a way to leave myself. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I must be hitting a nerve. Hey, I can preach this next week. Amen. I can finish this up at a later time. You know what? If we would focus on the Lord instead of a lot of other things, it'd make our countenance a whole lot better. Amen. We see here a provision of redemption. Exodus chapter 12. We don't have a whole lot of time, and I'm not going to keep you late. But we look here that God provided the provision before there was a need. Amen. God provided redemption before there was a need of redemption. When did God provide His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? He came up with a plan before creation. God knew that man would need a redeemer, and He provided a redeemer before we even came. Let me tell you something. God has a remedy on the way before you had the problem. Hallelujah. There's provision of redemption in the first 10 verses. There's an instruction for preparation in verse 11. They told them to eat it. They're to eat it with the loins girded. That means you need to be dressed up, your shoes on your feet, ready to travel, and your staff in your hand. This is a picture that when a person gets saved, that God did not save you to warm a pew. Hey, I can leave the air condition off to take care of that. God raised you up to put your clothes on, to put your shoes on, to get your weapon of warfare and your weapon of workout and go out and serve God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what that means right there. There's a warning of certain judgment. God provided the redemption because he said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt this night and the firstborn are going to die. Let me tell you something. There are two things that are certain in life. Number one, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, a judgment. Every person under the sound of my voice, listening by the radio and this congregation, listening by the internet, when we get it on there, one day you're going to die. Every one of us. And you're going to stand before God. You're going to be judged. And except you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you die, you'll be like the rich man. In hell, you'll lift up your eyes. Let me tell you something, sinner friend, there's a coming judgment. And the only way to be ready for that is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an instruction of preparation. There's a warning of certain judgment. There's a promise of a certain salvation. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. When I see the night. Now Moses didn't say this. Okay. The religious association did not say this. The head of the Southern Baptist denomination didn't say this. The chief independent Baptist preacher that you look up to, which is not me, he didn't say that. God himself said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Say, preacher, you're going to heaven because you preach? I mean, with sorry preaching that I do, it won't get me to heaven. Are you going to go to heaven because you're called to preach? No. I'm going to heaven because there was a day that I saw myself as a sinner and living and me throwing my life away and raising the devil and partying and drinking and wasting my life in sin and shame, that God dealt with my heart and I call on the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved me. Amen. That's why I'm going to heaven. And the only way you'll go to heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a call to holy living. In verse 13, put away leaven. Hey, if it's wrong, get rid of it. Amen. How many of you would drink Drano on purpose? None of us, but yet we'll take in things that are a lot worse than that. I mean, put away leaven. Get the leaven out of your house. Eat nothing unleavened. I mean, there's some things that you need to stay away from. And there's an urgency that's presented. In verse 21, Moses called for the elders of Israel, and they said, draw out and take a lamb. I mean, you say, well, I'm going to wait till tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I may wait the next year or next month. Let me tell you, you may not see the sun go down and you go out into eternity. You may not see the end of this day. I hope you do. But now's accepted time. Behold, today is a day of salvation. There's an urgency. There's a message to be passed on. The message of salvation, as they were to tell their children of the Passover and what God had done for them. Parents, we need to tell our children, well, why do we go to church? And why do we read our Bible? Why? And by the way, the children don't run the home, amen? I mean, they don't bring a paycheck in. I mean, he who pays the bills rules the house, amen? Hallelujah. Amen. There's another rabbit. I shot him pretty quick, didn't I? Hey. When the children say, well, why do we do this? Well, let me tell you, there was a time that God saved your daddy. There was a time that God saved your mama. And we do this because what God did and what God did for me, he can do for you. You know, some of us adults, we've done some knot-headed, can I use the word stupid things? And wouldn't it be good if our children did not do some of the things that we did? I got saved out of a life of sin. It's better to be saved from a life of sin. Amen? Better not to get into that. There's an obedience that is performed. The children of Israel obeyed. Will you obey the gospel message today? Let's conclude. We got a few minutes. Look in Exodus chapter 12. There are three phrases in reference to the lamb. In verse 3, we see that they shall take to them every man a lamb. There is a lamb. There is a lamb without blemish and spot. Man is in need of a substitute for the payment of sin that God will accept. And God accepted the sacrifice and the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a lamb. You say, I don't know if I can make it to heaven. I don't know. How can I know that I'm saved? There is a lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. But there's not just a, you can't pick any lamb. There are not different ways to heaven. There's not the Baptist way, and the Presbyterian way, and the Pentecostal way, and the Islamic way, and the Hindu way. There are not many roads don't lead to heaven. No, and the way is straight and narrow, and his name is Jesus. Amen. The Lamb. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen. The Lamb. And if the household be too little for the Lamb, let him his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of souls, every man according to the eating, they shall count for the Lamb. There's a Lamb. But then there's the Lamb. You got to know the Lamb. And then your Lamb. The title of the message is The Lamb, Your Lamb. See, there's a Lamb. His name is Jesus Christ. There is the Lamb, the Son of God, God Emmanuel, manifested in the flesh, who paid for your sin. But have you personally identified with him? Is he your Lamb? Before I got saved, I knew that Jesus died for the sins of the world. But I didn't know that he died for me. I grew up among Christian people, among religious people from time to time. And I'd been through Vacation Bible School. And I'd been in Sunday school. And heard the stories and heard the biblical accounts. But when I got saved, I realized for the first time that Jesus died for me. And he became my Lamb. Is the Lamb your Lamb? You must personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ and make the Lamb your Lamb. Is the Lamb your Lamb? Has there been a time that you've seen yourself as a sinner, spiritually and morally bankrupt before a holy God that you've offended because of your sin? Have you seen yourself as a person deserving of the judgment of God? The wages of sin is death. But the verse doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood. God commendeth. He displayed his love toward us, toward you. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid your sin debt because he loved you. See, we're stuck in time. But God works in eternity. And though Jesus in his earthly ministry was stuck in time, he was still in eternity. And on the cross, he could look forward in time and see you and you. He could see me. And the joy that was set before him was you and I being saved and having eternal life and you and I being with him in heaven. Is the Lamb your Lamb? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To go to him and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I deserve your judgment. But Lord, the best I know how, I call on you to save me and to be my Lord. To come in repentance and faith. Repentance knowing you're going the wrong way, going in sin and shame, religion, whatever. And that you need to realize that you're going in the wrong direction and that you need to turn from that and turn to him and put your faith and trust in him. Have you done that today?